Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for July 13th, 2020. It's our oldest child's birthday today, so this cannot be very long because...
She's 18. Emma's turning 18.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. I feel ridiculous.
Well, I mean, it's bound to happen.
I know, but I mean, she's not our child. She's an adult now.
I mean, she's been an adult for like the last 10 years.
That's true. She's more adult than most of us.
So I don't think there's going to be a huge change. But we do have to cook her a big dinner.
Should we tell her that today's the last day she gets to stay in the house? So she's going to make her way now.
Go on out in the world, the COVID world.
Pack her suitcase.
Seek your fortune. I don't think we should do that, but... Yeah, she wants bœuf bourguignon today, which I have to go shopping for.
Doesn't that take all day to make? Isn't like a...
Yeah, that's why this has to be pretty short. Because, incidentally, I haven't bought any of the ingredients or even started cooking, and I thought we would be able to start partying by like 1 or 2. So.
Yeah, it's 8:30, still time.
Yeah, still time. But also, we're doing courses, so... I'm going to do
it was your mistake to watch Babette's Feast in her presence.
Yeah.
Last week?
Yeah, or 2 weeks ago.
So now she has an idea of what she wants. And it's Babette's. She wants Babette's Feast for her birthday.
I mean, I think so. But and it's her 18th birthday.
I mean, if it was like her
10th birthday.
Yeah. We'd say whatever. No. You can watch Babette's Feast your birthday, but you can't.
We're not going to do that. Right. But she... Yeah, and we can't really do anything else because what are we going to do? Have a big party? That's irresponsible. So we're having a quiet family party, which is what we always do anyway. We're not making caille en sarcophage.
What is that?
Little birds in their own coffins. Delicious, delicious, tiny birds. We're not making that.
I thought a BB gun, I could shoot some...
Some of the birds. Horrible birds outside of our window screaming. So we only have time to talk about a couple of quick things. One, I know all of you have already seen this, but racism is over. As declared by, you should probably get it up on your device. Don't you think? Or do I play it from mine?
I can get it up.
So the Bethel apostles... apostolic something or other.
This is Bethel Church, Redding, California. It is poison. And there are actually Anglican priests who have gone to the training center there. The Spirit Center or something like that to learn how to do what Bill Johnson is doing. And there, I remember reading a bishop recommending Bill Johnson as someone who's in a new prophetic voice for our future. And Bill Johnson is, he's one of the people involved in the new apostolic reformation. And the idea there is that God has now anointed apostles for the end of the age. And they have the same authority that the apostles had prior to, or in the apostolic age, which means, you know, they're basically mouthpieces of Jesus. And they... Well,
what they do is embarrass all of America and themselves.
Right.
That's what they do. This is like really gimmicky and horrifying, and somebody should tell them, like, don't do this because it's embarrassing from the Lord of the Rings angle.
They've just declared that coronavirus will not pass.
No, not coronavirus.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
racism.
Right.
Where is it passing to? Like what?
Right.
That isn't even the word. Those are not even the words.
Yeah.
Where is it going?
Bill, if you're having trouble, if you've never heard of Bill Johnson, maybe you heard of this. Maybe you heard of the church that had a 5-day prayer war or something. I'm not sure what they called it. I forgot what they called it. When this poor woman's baby died.
Yeah.
And they were claiming that they were going to raise her from the dead. Because the works that Jesus does, you can do. That's that actually.
I'm impressed that they tried, because they haven't done stuff like that. You know, like, they're usually more sensible than to actually try to raise people from the dead.
Right.
You know, but they somehow got suckered into this.
I mean, after that, everyone should stop listening to Bill Johnson, because Bill Johnson said, this is something we will do because we have apostolic authority. We have power. We're, you know, if you have enough faith, can do everything that Jesus did. And the only reason the church isn't doing everything that Jesus did is because it lacks faith. Incidentally, another thing you may have heard about, this is the church that...
I thought they put a stop to coronavirus.
Their famous worldwide healing training center had to close for coronavirus.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, where are all these guys during... Why aren't they roaming the hospitals? You know, why aren't they declaring and decreeing the end of coronavirus?
Well, there was somebody standing on the beach, they're sending it back out to sea, but that didn't work. Or maybe that was a hurricane.
That was a hurricane.
Oh, okay.
After coronavirus, nobody should listen to these charlatans, because it's all...
Okay, well, if you still want to listen to them before, that was great. But now, because they're misapplying the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, so let's... So where should we look to see how God would want us to combat racism?
Let's go to the Lord of the Rings.
Exposit the Lord of the Rings.
I mean, it's a curious choice. Curious. Interesting choice, Lord of the Rings.
Racism is monstrous. Yeah, you know, that's true. Going to the scene where the Balrog and the Mines of Moria has come up from the depths.
This is what,
and it's going to destroy everybody unless it can be stopped or slowed down. And so,
and it can only be stopped by, incidentally, one man,
Gandalf,
who in this particular point does sort of have a little bit of a typological, you know,
Tolkien was a Christian, and and I know that people say it's not true, but it's because they haven't read their Bible. But if you read Lord of the Rings, you'll find just thousands of Christological illusions.
Not one person like Aslan or something.
Right. No, it's not an allegory, it's definitely typology. You see that everywhere. And so this is one of those areas where there's a typology where Gandalf is the Christ figure who grapples with the Balrog and wrestles him down to the pit. And then Gandalf supposedly dies, but he comes back as Gandalf the White. So it's definitely death and resurrection.
Yeah. And scares everyone.
It's not the Bible.
Right.
So you wouldn't want to exegete Gandalf's... I mean, if you're looking for
they're not exegeting anything here, though. They have a big stick, and they're banging it on the ground. And one of them literally says, "Let's pick it up and bang it on the ground together."
If you're looking for a, you know, for something, some spiritual thing, to use as a means to end some kind of sin, you know, Gandalf and the Balrog were pictures of Jesus in the cross. So an idea might be,
I don't think
to
so.
Go and preach the cross of Christ to people who are...
Well, and as we know, the gospel doesn't work against racism anyway. So
that's why I find most... We'll play the video in just a minute. That's why I find most obscene about this video is that these people are Christians.
Well, are they?
Well, they claim to be. They claim to be Christians. The one thing that God says he uses to unite peoples from every tongue, tribe, and nation is the gospel. You believe the gospel, Jesus makes you one people of other tribes, tongues, and nations. And then the details get sorted out over the course of your life. So if you're a racist and you become a Christian, boom, guess what? Now you're interrelated. In fact, you're one with a black person. And you can't do anything about it. So now you've got to work out your racism, because the cross has now made you
And by workout, you mean get rid of it.
You are more related to your black person you hate or the white person you hate than your mama.
Your mama.
If she's not a Christian.
Yeah. Okay, play the clip.
I gotta find it.
I sent it to you.
Oh, you sent it? Okay.
Yeah, I sent it on purpose. Well, this, I... There, do you have it? It's John. No, go to Johnny Simmons, our listener, right here. Click that.
Oh.
And it'll play.
All right.
Okay, don't make it too loud because she starts screaming.
Puts both of his hands
too loud. Too loud.
On the staff.
Too loud.
And he said,
"Oh my gosh!" No, stop. Turn it way down.
Wait, stop. What are you doing?
It's way too loud.
No, I'm doing it again.
Like, adjust the volume, though, before you do that again, because it's really jarring. Okay.
Puts both of his hands on the staff, and he said, "I said." And he hits it.
If you're in a Pentecostal church, you have to say.
Puts both of his hands.
Oh my gosh.
On the staff, and he said, "I said."
You can't just say "I said." You have to say "I said da, da."
Yeah.
Da. Did you say your people you know do that?
My grandpa. Don't just dial it back because that's what he does. The S and the. Okay, don't keep playing from the beginning though. Oh.
And that authority is what we're talking about. That can only be released.
I think we should play the whole clip.
Okay, I wish it.
And then comment.
But I've got to start over again because you missed the climactic part where she was showing the crap at the
door. Yeah, so you have to stop
interrupting
it. And start.
On the staff. And he said, "I said."
Oh, gosh, it's so loud.
And he hits it. And that authority is what we are talking about that can only be released by an apostolic decree. The authority must be given. And that's why I revealed what we heard tonight. So, is that clear?
So, please stand up with us. Or if you could stand, because you're standing in authority, because you're all kings and priests. And all of us, we're an apostolic people. So, as an apostolic team, with the authority that God's given to us, we decree and declare that racism will end, it's over in the ecclesia from this night forward in Jesus' mighty name. The scepter up and bang it. Hallelujah. Come on, give him a praise offer.
Repeat with us. Thou shalt not pass. No more.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm sorry, we did it twice. We need one more.
Why?
We need you for the to Trinity. Agree with us. Okay. On the count of three, on three, shout with us. One, two, three. Thou shalt
oh my gosh.
Not pass the name of Jesus Christ.
It's like it's like a magic. You know?
That was really jarring. I mean, also, so I feel like some people read the Bible the way that this kind of thing, just the way they're reading the Lord of the Rings.
right.
Like people wander around the Bible thinking, like, what? I gotta get something out here. I gotta get a, gotta find something, and then they end up doing effectively this
Ezekiel and deciding to cook their food under human waste or something.
Yeah, yeah. Just
to chase the demons away.
Yeah, yeah. That kind of thing. Well, anyway, so I'm glad that racism is over.
That is good news. So
yeah.
It's done.
So we don't need to worry about that anymore. So,
can we stop burning down things and tearing down statues now?
Well, how do we let everyone know? How do we let all
I don't think the woke people are going to listen.
They're going to go to Bethel? I don't think they are either. So I'm not sure.
What's interesting too is that woman seemed very, she seems educated. Smart. So do the man, the guy.
Yeah, they all look sort of.
Yeah, but there are. I bet they're professionals.
Yeah.
And they bought into this stuff.
So there they are on stage, just behaving, in a curious way. banging their stick. Where did they get the Gandalf stick?
They had to get a Gandalf stick. And in the crowd,
they seemed pretty tepid.
At first, they were all, what are you doing? They seemed like they didn't quite get it. But then, you know, by the third time they banged the stick, everyone was in it. But you're all kings and a priest with apostolic authority. Now, the first thing, that's true. You're heirs. You're not really kings yet. You're heirs with Christ, in Christ. And we're priests, and in that sense, yes, we are.
Right, we all get to sort of come near to offering Jesus ourselves now.
And right. As fragrant offerings to him. But we don't all have apostolic authority. I'm not an apostle. You're not an apostle. In fact, they don't even believe that because there's only a certain number of new apostles.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they go around. The Spirit leads one of them. Or group, they have a council. They get together and decide who's next. Yeah. So Todd Bentley.
Yeah, he was
made an apostle. Remember this?
Yeah. That worked out so well for all of them.
Yeah. So it's amazing how the apostles who are supposedly have Christ's authority and he speaks through them make all these mistakes about who really is an apostle.
So they can't.
Jesus can't figure it out. Like, I kind of want Todd Bentley, even though he beats people when they come to him asking to be healed. So let's make him an apostle.
Oops.
I didn't foresee that he would cheat on his wife, commit adultery on her, and then cheat on his second wife.
Oh, my gosh.
And have, like, polyamorous relationships. So, yeah. My bad.
That's so bad. Well, the other thing that people have said is it's really funny that we can have Lord of the Rings now because back in the 90s, that was Satan. So,
yeah,
well, like Christians weren't supposed to read Lord of the Rings
or Narnia because it's magic, glorifies magic. But
now it's totally fine for some reason. And we can bang the Gandalf staff on stage and racism because that's not magic. I mean, it's not magic.
I mean, it's just as ridiculous as people. I mean, well, I would say it is as ridiculous as people who say we end racism by divesting ourselves of whiteness or
that's magical thinking. D'Angelo's
book or becoming, you know, using the language of the woke. It's not going to work either.
It's magical thinking. It's like it's too transactional. It doesn't take into account the incredible and horrific complexity of human relationships and how, you know, it's a web, as Woodhouse would say. You can't just be like, if you do this one thing, if you say these magical words, then all everything the racism goes away.
Or if you force everyone to suppress their normal behavior and conform to virtue signaling in a certain way, then that will end. That's going to end it.
No, that brings utopia.
Right. I mean, there's an actual sin involved. It's called partiality in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And that's where you favor one group of you favor yourself really above others. You look at people.
It's narcissism.
It's narcissism. You look at yourself. You say, "Hey, I have white skin, or I have black skin. That must mean that people with black skin are better than others, and people like me are better than others." So that's the core of racism. It's self love. It goes right back to the garden. I want to be God, and there's only one way to deal with that, and that's you. The Holy Spirit needs to bring me conviction by application of the actual law of God to someone's heart, not D'Angelo, not Kendi, not the additions to the law that the woke are pressing, but the actual law of partiality needs to be pressed into someone's heart and by the preaching of the law. And then you need to say, look, Jesus has died for that sin and you can be forgiven. And you need to confess and acknowledge your sin and trust in him. And then the healing begins and people are put back together in a community. But going back over, but banging a staff on a on a floor isn't going to do it. Neither is telling everybody they're racist. I mean, that's another thing is interesting about the woke movement is that everybody, if you're white, you just it's not, you don't ask yourself whether you're racist. It's how are you racist, or in what ways have you exhibited racism?
There's a great line in, I'm trying to read Lewis's Experiment and Criticism, which is being really, really slow. But he complains about people reading books the wrong way. He talks about the vestiges of Puritan, the sort of habits of the Puritan mind, without the content of this Puritan theology, and how annoying that is when people read books that way. Like, it's really funny to have Lord of the Rings on the stage because people will read a trashy novel or anything. They'll just read anything in a stupid way. I'm obviously using his technical language here.
That's the word C.S. Lewis used.
That's the word.
Stop reading books in a stupid way.
If you want me to boil down an experiment in criticism. Okay. The Puritan conscience works without the Puritan theology, like millstones grinding nothing, like digestive juices working on an empty stomach and producing ulcers. The unhappy youth applies to literature all scruples, the rigorism, the self-examination, the distrust of pleasure, which his forebears applied to the spiritual life, and perhaps soon all the intolerance and self-righteousness. Boy, he's talking about books, but prophetic. It's so prophetic. So you can do that to a book, and you can do it to other people too, actually, or the hearts of other people, without actually being able to see them. Like, the very idea that Robin DiAngelo would be able to see into somebody else's soul is really insane.
You're a racist, and if you'd object, you're a fragile racist, is her argument in her book. And I can't believe how many people think it's a valid argument. I can't believe how many people are just Christians. There are Anglicans whose pastors are giving them book groups to read through DiAngelo's book.
We should probably read it.
Which is a slanderous book. You are racist, and if you object, you are just fragile. So there's no way out of it. And Christians defend that by saying, oh, well, the fall, everyone's a sinner. That's very true. We all are sinners, and we are totally depraved in the sense that we have every faculty of ours has been infected by sin. What that doesn't mean is that every individual is guilty of every single sin. So you can be, our natures are such, and our souls are such that we sin in different ways. So my depravity is going to look different than your depravity.
And everybody's special.
Yeah, everyone's special. It's like a little, you're like a snowflake.
In your
depravity. So just because we're all sinners and depraved doesn't mean we all have bestial lusts. Right, we might lust after we all probably have some kind of lust, but not in the same way. We're not all homosexual.
We're not all polyamorous.
We're not all right. So the sin nature works itself out differently in different souls, and so no, we're not all racist just because we're all fallen. Some of us are. We are all probably partial. We probably have some partiality in us, but not all of it is directed.
I mean, everybody is sort of narcissistic, but not in the same direction or to the same goal.
Exactly.
But then the other thing that I don't like about the sort of fragility thing is that it reminds me of the way that a lot of people think about sin. I think this can arise in certain Catholic circles. I'm not bashing my Catholic friend at all. But if you think that you can get rid of your own sin, let's not say Catholic, let's say Pharisaical. If you think that you can cope with the sin inside of you on your own, then you don't know how big it is. It becomes the lesser kind of sin. If sin is something so big that you can't do anything about it at all, except for go to the cross, then you can actually begin to look at how pervasive and how big and how terrible and how wicked it really is.
Right.
if you're going to have to shrive yourself of your own sins, your own racism, for instance, you're going to actually end up minimizing what that racism is. And that's why you end up with this sort of, the D'Angelo stuff is basically self-help.
Yeah.
You wash your face. You just wash, just say that you're, say these special magical words to get rid of your whiteness, or get this sort of trick of mind to this paradigm that you sort of understand. Well, that keeps you're
awoken.
Right, you're awoken. That keeps you from actually ever looking into the true dark depths of your own narcissistic wickedness.
Yeah.
Because maybe you are, maybe your racism is actually much worse than just being fragile. Who knows? Yeah. So there's no, it cheapens it, right, actually.
Well, that's why it's, I've argued this in several ways, but this whole movement is not just another way of thinking about race. It's a counterfeit of the gospel. It's a whole system. It's a system that redefines what sin is, redefines what virtue is, redefines what redemption is, redefines what confession and forgiveness look like. In fact, there is no forgiveness. So it's just a false gospel layered on top of our social situation. At Christians, because it is a false gospel and it uses some of the language of the gospel, are having a hard time recognizing it.
Yeah.
And so they think, oh, this is the way we need to repent, right?
Because I mean, I think out of a good desire to be not to be a hateful,
right,
horrible person, you want to do whatever it is that you can, right, for the sake of your brother or sister, which makes it more like, you know, the charlatanism of the white fragility thing, where you get, you know, middle class white women to feel really, really bad and spend their money on merch. Yeah. That's not a good end. That's just as useful as banging a stick on the floor and declaring that it's all over. I mean, just think that's absurd. But it's easier. That's what most of us want is something we can do.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of racism. We got rid of that. Now we just need to get rid of the Rona.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to talk about the opening of schools.
Oh.
Because everybody is super stressed about that.
Do we have time to do that?
Not really.
Because we have to get going for Emma's.
We have to get going for Emma's thing. So, but maybe we can like read another week of news about that and do that next week.
Well, New York Times, just maybe one little comment.
Yeah, New York Times discovered that parents are not able to handle their children.
The parents need the schools to open up because
they can't.
How can women get back to work and continue to be?
Parents need public schools too. They need help raising their children and they need to work.
Yeah.
Well, and that's because you guys all destroyed our economy so that now it's true. Everybody needs to work.
You can't have a single person working and provide for a family anymore unless you're making a lot of money.
Like tons and tons of money, which I think is
horrible.
Horrible. And I don't think actually that it's true. If the schools don't open, our community is going to really take another hit. There are tons and tons of children that are not in good homes, who only have a mother, and maybe there's boyfriends around who are ready to make their lives worse.
There are those kinds of families, but I don't
there's
think
a lot of those.
But I also think that I don't think the majority are like that, and I think that it might be
in Binghamton though. In the schools around here.
That's an uncharitable assumption about our neighbors.
Neighbors. I'm not talking about. No. Yeah. I feel like.
I think that actually kids will do better with their parents than in the public school. But.
Yeah. I don't know if a lot of.
Given what the public schools are now teaching them.
Yeah. I mean, maybe an education isn't worth it anymore. We were going to do tips. If you decide to homeschool.
What can you do?
What can you do? Well, the first thing you do is panic. You do that for a good long time. Then you go through the stages of grief. You're angry first.
Yeah.
You go into denial and do nothing to prepare. Finally, I don't know what the stages of grief are. After like several months, you finally get to acceptance. And by that point, it's too late to do a good job. So there you are.
Yeah.
If you want to homeschool, you can totally private message me and I'll try to tell you not to.
Maybe we can take up the topic next time.
How to homeschool?
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, so now that we've solved that racism, we will, yeah. If you don't want us to talk about homeschooling, which would be great because I don't want to, please send in other questions so we don't have to. And in the meantime, have a great day.